Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, January 7th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're on page 158, the second paragraph that begins with, "On the third day the lawyer gave." We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Audrey M.P., who will be reading the 12 steps, and Jess S. will be reading the 12 traditions. The readers of our text are Robin P., Jordan L., and Julie E.B. The share ID for Thursday, January 6th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,356. That's 18356. This morning's Friday, January 7th, Eastern Time meeting share ID is 18,370. That's 18370. Our newcomer greeter for today is Sharon W., and Leslie W. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Audrey M.P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Team Friday. This is Audrey M.P. from Southern California, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. And Jess S., if you'd read the 12 traditions, please. Star one to unmute.
I was unmuted and then I wasn't unmuted. Okay, here we go. This is Jess S. From Wisconsin Compulsive Overeater. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Thank you, Jess S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 158, the second paragraph that begins with, on the third day the lawyer gave. And good morning, Robin P. If you would get us started, please.
Thanks, Kathleen. Thank you, Susan. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater, currently in Palm Beach, Florida, Eugene, Costa Rica. On the third day, the lawyer gave his life to the care and direction of his creator, and said he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. His wife came, scarcely daring to be hopeful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. He had begun to have a spiritual experience. So I love that it's on the third day he rose again, is what it reminds me of. And he gave his life over to the care and direction of his creator. And that's the third step. You know, I love the third step because it's the care of God. And those of us who've come from, you know, child abuse and traumatic childhood, to learn to trust a higher power and the care and direction of our God is such a blessing and miracle and grace. You know, and the part about being perfectly willing to do anything necessary, that's what my sponsor 6 years ago, thank God I just celebrated 6 years of abstinence. By God's grace and mercy. And, you know, that was the first question and only real question that my sponsor, my first sponsor asked me, are you willing to go to any length to recover? And I wholeheartedly said yes. And that's what I ask people now when we're discussing me sponsoring them. And, you know, and I ask people to pray about it for the night and that we can pray about it and talk the next day. And sadly, you know, more than you would think, come back and say they're not ready to go to any lengths to recover. And for me, going to any lengths to recover is picking up the phone instead of the food, you know, working the steps, sponsoring people after going through the steps. You know, for me, the first 90 days, being on a meeting a day, just so that I hear other voices in my head instead of the disease. And also being willing to make an outreach call every day, you know, and it's coming out of isolation. It's such a disease of isolation. You know, I always think isolation and illness begin with I, and wellness begins with we. And I need as much we in my life as is possible, you know, from recovery. It's to me, you know, I am Christian. This is a spiritual program, not a religious program, but I always think of the cross. You know, if I just reach up to God, I just have a vertical line. If I just reach out to my fellows, I just have a horizontal line, and I need both. And so I reach up and I reach out. And I love that, you know, she could tell, his wife could tell that he had begun to have a spiritual experience. Amen. God bless everybody. It was a very blessed abstinence day. Thanks so much for all your service, everybody. And thank you, Kathleen.
And thank you so much for getting us started, Robin. Okay, we're on page 158, the second paragraph, on the third day the lawyer gave. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Carol G.
Laura W. Carol Anna G. Was C. that Laura W?
Yes, Laura W.
Is that Laura
Thank
W?
You.
And Janice C?
Shanna.
Marcia D.
Shanna, okay. Marcia D.
Babylonia A.
Okay, let's stop there. Babylonia A. Okay, so I have Carol G, Laura W, Shanna C, Marcia D, and Babylonia A. So go ahead, please, Carol G. Star one to unmute, Carol.
Sorry about that. So I came in hearing the reader say, his wife came scarcely daring to be helpful, though she thought she saw something different about her husband already. And I was telling a story to somebody about this Christmas time, which I never liked because it was always so stressful. And I just told my sponsor today, because of program and recovery, this is the most stress-free Christmas I ever had. And I went to a dinner with my family of origin. And I've always felt kind of uncomfortable. My siblings are gone, so they're my nieces. They're only like 10 to 13 years younger than me. And one of my niece's husbands, I told her a couple of years ago, does your husband really like me? I felt very uncomfortable with him. I thought he was judgmental. I kind of was intimidated. And part of my prayers were, please help me to feel comfortable with my own family. And sometimes higher power answers us quickly. Sometimes it takes a while. And I believe it takes a while because we have to grow into what we're asking for. So the reason I just mentioned this, I went to a family dinner, and we're sitting around the table, and I just was having such a wonderful time. I was, like, loving everybody, and it was like a love fest, and it's like one of those larger-than-life experiences. And out of nowhere, in the middle of the dinner, this person who I thought didn't like me years ago looks at me and says, Carol, you're glowing. And then he said, everybody likes you. And it's like, out of nowhere, I almost fell out of my chair. I'm sure my husband sitting next to me almost fell out of his chair, too. But basically, what I'm trying to say is, we don't even realize it, but people do see the change in us, just in our whole being about who we are, and it shows in our face, in our character, and in the way they feel when they're with us. So all I could say is thank you, God, for helping me to grow and to be loving and to let people in. And of course I had to make a little joke after he said that, but it's like I took it in. I was able to take it in and say, wow. And I was able to take it in because it didn't go to my ego. It went to gratefulness to my creator because I know he did it. I didn't, you know. So that's it. And thanks for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Carol G. And Laura W., you're up, followed by...
Can you tell what page you're on, please?
We're on page 158, the second paragraph, on the third day the lawyer gave. So go ahead, please, Laura.
Thanks so much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. This is Laura W. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, anorexic, and exercise bulimic in South Jersey. Yeah, it's a great paragraph. It reminds me that, you know, he says, Bill D says he was perfectly willing to do anything necessary. And that's what it takes. You know, people say it takes what it takes. It takes anything and everything. I can't be a vending machine and put 50 cents in and expect to get a dollar item out of it. I need to work these steps every single day. Somebody on the earlier meeting this morning said that when somebody asked her what steps she's on, she says, I'm all over these steps. Like, and that's so true. I wake up every morning and I surrender to my higher power and I say the third step prayer and I do 1, 2, and 3. And as I go through the day, I do 10 steps and then I help others and I talk to sponsees and I talk to my sponsor. I try to live in 10, 11, and 12. So, you know, I'm all over these steps every single day. And it says he had begun to have a spiritual experience. To begin something means just to start. You know, to start something means that it's going to continue. This has to continue for a lifetime, this book tells us. Like, I can't just, you know, say I've done the steps. Well, I've done the steps already. I don't know why I'm not recovering. Well, I'm not recovering because I need to live in the steps. I can't just do the steps. I need to live in the steps. And that's what I, you know, I feel that this is who I am today. It's not what I do. It's who I am today. And only by the grace of God and only by my fellows and my sponsor and this, and especially these 12 steps, can I have that spiritual awakening? And it says he had a spiritual experience. An experience is sudden and profound. It's a change in his thinking and his attitude and his emotions. You know, I didn't have a spiritual experience. I've had a spiritual awakening. It's been more slow and gradual over the last 17 years. But you know, I'm recovered, but I am not cured. You know, I have a daily reprieve, only contingent on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. If I get up and just go about my day and say, this is my list, this is what I have to do today, me, you know, that experience is going to slow down and it's going to, I'm not going to feel my higher power. And you know, the last thing I'll say, I say this all the time, you know, one day without God and God knows it, 2 days without God and I know it, but 3 days without God and everybody knows it. And it just goes to show me that I need God in my life. I need my higher power, whoever your higher power is, whatever it is. You know, turn to that higher power is my suggestion if you're struggling. Surrender. We have to throw our hands up in the air and say, I can't do this. I give up. And that's where the freedom comes. Thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Laura W. from New Jersey. And Shauna C., you're up, followed by Marcia D. Go ahead, Shauna.
Good morning. This is Shanna, a grateful recovered compulsive eater from Tennessee. You know, I read this paragraph and I'm overwhelmed with gratitude. I don't really know what's going to come out of my mouth at this moment, but I have prayed for the words and the delivery and that it might help someone. But just grateful that I can give my will and my life over to the care and direction. And, you know, for so long, I did not realize that was even possible to give my will and life over to the care and direction of a higher power. I think I was believing the lie that he didn't care, that I had to get myself cleaned up first before I could approach him, that I always felt that I had to prove myself. You know, I identify a lot with Bill W. when he talks about he would prove to the world that he was important. And I think that manifested itself in the food. You know, the food is the symptom. You know, somehow, someday I will control and enjoy my food. And I thought I had to rely on myself to do that. It was only when all my ideas, I saw that they just absolutely did not work. And all of the efforts that I had put into controlling this thing and making my life better didn't work. And that I could see that I was doing nothing but getting worse and sicker. That the last idea of me being able to do this job myself had been snuffed out. And I didn't know though when I came to the Vision for You and, you know, a couple years ago, I was actively in the middle of living in 10, 11, and 12 in another program, but the food was killing me, you know, and I had no idea until I took inventory and, well, first of all, surrendered, begged God for help, you know, got a sponsor, just so happened to work out the way that it did on the day that I surrendered, got on my knees. I got a sponsor that day. And anyway, it took me through the steps. It wasn't until after a thorough inventory that I saw that I was actually working the steps in my own power, trying to wrest satisfaction and happiness out of the program by doing the steps in my own power, not realizing that the whole purpose of the steps was to establish and maintain a relationship with the God of my understanding. Somehow I was trying to prove to God that I was worthy by doing the steps, and I stayed miserable. So through the inventory and the mechanical process of doing the steps, I was able to see that there was absolutely nothing I could do to recover on my own, that my ideas originating from self had no power, but that God was more than willing to help once I saw that, and he was there. And I haven't found it necessary to eat compulsively, and I couldn't be more grateful. And I'm being taught how to live in his power instead of my own. And it's a lot easier that way. I'm an ease and comfort junkie. Thank God we get to tap into this every day. And I get to be wrong. Don't have to be afraid of that anymore. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Shana C. in Tennessee. And Marcia D, you're followed by Babylonia A. Go ahead, Marcia.
Good morning. Thanks, everyone, for being there. This is Marcia D, gratefully recovered in Ohio. And I was just drawn to this story in a couple ways. You know, one, I thought of my late father when he entered into recovery from alcoholism and how it was truly a miracle. And when he died, he was 26 years sober. But putting my mom in the place of the wife in this story and how bankrupt she felt, you know, and wondered if he would ever straighten up and fly right. And of course, putting myself in with my own disease, you know, I was certainly bankrupt and didn't really even know how bankrupt I was. You know, I was a practicing Christian, thought I had it all understood, but I was dying with this disease. And I think about my children, you know, they were bankrupt along with me because they didn't know what they were going to get on any given day. You know, I had such horrible mood swings and I was antisocial, as it says in chapter 5. So, you know, but I love the story of hope because now my kids can see mom in a recovered state and they can see from a spiritual standpoint that I am a different person, and I do behave differently. My youngest son woke me up last night at 3 a.m. He just got braces on his teeth, and his mouth was killing him. And did I yell at him? No. I was kind. I was compassionate. I sat with him. I helped him, you know, and that's because of recovery, you know, working through these steps, taking direction, you know, making amends, reordering my life. So it's just amazing how much we can draw from these pages and this text, and I just continue to be grateful for all of you and the great shares, and just grateful that my sons can experience me in a different light as I got to experience with my father, you know, when he entered a recovery, and to be able to continue to carry the message. The other part is just being restored for a purpose. I'm continuing to care for my mom in hospice, and what a blessing, you know, to be able to be present to her. And I know if my head were still in the food, I wouldn't be present, or I'd be going through the motions and missing the tender moments that I'm getting to have. So thank you for being there and for the great program in this reading today. And I pass.
Thank you, Marcia D. And Babylonia A, you're up. Just a reminder, we're on page 158, the second paragraph. On the third day, the lawyer gave, and I'll be taking some more names after Babylonia. So go ahead, please.
I had two revelations today. The first one was when I was reading my 11th step morning reading, and it said, pause when agitated or doubtful and ask God for the next right thought or action. And maybe this is obvious to everyone, but I was like, oh, God doesn't want me to be agitated or doubtful. He wants me to be in perfect peace all the time. So that's where I can go to get that peace. It made sense when I thought about it this morning. And my second revelation was the third step prayer. I always was wondering, like, okay, how do I offer myself to God? And I realized this morning that really it's a commitment prayer for me for God's will to be done in my life through abstinence. I'm saying, God, I commit to being abstinent, and because I know that's your will, and that's how I can offer myself to you. Otherwise, I don't really know how to offer myself to God. So that was my revelation. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Babylonia A. Okay, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days and you'd like to share on this second paragraph, page 158, I will take your name.
Debbie Sandy N., Gray. Ohio.
Okay, wait, who from Donna Ohio? W?
Debbie N., Ohio. Ohio.
Okay, wait. Okay, I just want to hear the person from Ohio. Say your name again.
Debbie
Maria
N.
K.
Debbie. Sorry. Debbie, who from Ohio? Okay, I'll get your initial later. Sorry, Debbie, you keep getting talked over. And then who came in after Debbie and before Donna?
Sandy K.
Maria C.
Sandy K. Maria C.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. I can take one more.
Patricia H. from North Carolina.
Patricia H. Okay, looks like a good lineup. I have Debbie from Ohio, Sandy K., Donna W., Maria C., Deborah G., and Patricia H. So, okay, Debbie, first initial again, and go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. This is Debbie N., like Nancy, from Ohio. And I just felt I needed to share that, you know, I've been a person of faith my entire life, but yet it didn't make me immune from becoming a compulsive overeater or having this disease. I think in all of my life, I've prayed and prayed for God, you know, to make, as others have shared, make me a skinny person, you know, make me, something that I'm not currently, make my body beautiful, all these things, but what I was actually wanting from God was to allow me to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, how much I want, without any consequences of that behavior. And that's just an impossible request of God. That would be a normal eater who can put things down or not eat something because they just don't feel like eating it. They don't have the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. What I did learn was that because God didn't answer that prayer, I thought I was on my own, that I had to take care of this problem on my own. And it wasn't until I came into program that I realized that God could do for me what I could not do for myself. He could take away this desire. He could answer the why me, you know, how come, or relieve me from wanting to know the answer to that question, because they're really not answerable. But by God's grace, He relieved me of sugar from the very moment I came into program and has continued to do that. By living in steps 10, 11, and 12, what I've learned is God is there walking beside me and has been all this time. And that through program, I'm aware of when those character defects present themselves, those four main ones during the day, moment by moment, allowing me at the time to stop, pause, think, breathe, don't say or do something that will require me to make an amends. But if I do, then to make that amends quickly, to share with somebody else what went wrong and how I need to regroup and get in touch with my higher power and move forward. And so I'm eternally grateful. I heard somebody say one time, or maybe read it, that God will not grant a miracle if ordinary things will suffice. And for me as a compulsive overeater, ordinary things is working this program and living in steps 10, 11, and 12 each day. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Debbie N. from Ohio. And Sandy K., you're up, followed by Donna W. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning. This is Sandy K., recovered compulsive overeater for today from Florida. I felt compelled, God-driven, as I understand God, to really comment on this paragraph, because anytime I see the word willing, I think of me. I know that step three wasn't the only time I had to become willing. It wasn't the first time. I had to become willing in step one to admit that my life was unmanageable. In step two, that was really hard for me. I had to be willing that there was something greater than myself, and that was really difficult. So, and then step three, willing to turn my life and my will over. And there's a lot of times in the steps, almost every step, where I'm willing. Sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. And by the grace of God and being continually abstinent, because I do believe, because I first year of program, I was in and out of program, and I know I didn't have the kind of recovery I would have gotten if I was straight abstinent working the steps. There's just something about doing that, the continuity. So now I have a sponsor, not a sponsor, but someone I was talking to, and she said to me, she did step three on a particular problem, and she did step three all night. And I spoke to her the next day, and I said, you know, if I did step three all night, that meant for me that I really never did step three, because once I do it, I just leave it alone in God's hands. So I want to say before I leave this particular conversation for me, I'm willing. My second sponsor said to me, jump off a roof, I would have said to her, when? That's how willing and ready I was to do the work. Thank goodness she didn't say that to me. But when I do step seven, I can't do step seven unless I do step six. So willingness for me is almost all the steps, but I know for today that if I ask God to remove a character defect, which is coming up in a few steps from now, I know in my heart if I'm really willing to do that. Just like I know in my heart when I'm really willing to give my life and my will over the care of God as I understand him. I believe it was in the AA 12 and 12 or the OA 12 and 12, it says, a willingness is the key that opens the door. And I read that many, many, many years ago, and it still plays in my heart. It still resonates. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Sandy K. in Florida. And Donna W., you're up, followed by Maria C. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna W. Thank you so much, Kathleen. Calling in from California, grateful for my recovery and my abstinence today and for this meeting. And yes, it says the Lord gave his life to the care and direction of his creator and said he's perfectly willing to do anything necessary. And that just sounds so simple. And, you know, for me, I was raised to be a strong, independent woman. And so it's an ongoing opportunity to, turn my life and my will over to my higher power and be willing to do anything necessary. And what's working for me these days is just going, hey, God, I can't manage today. You can run the show today. So that helps me kind of, one, be here and today and realize, like, I can't even manage today. And it's not just about my food. I think that's the last time I went through the steps is really helpful. It's like, it's not really just about the food. It's really about my whole life. And then also I want to share an appreciation that I was in program before I met my husband. And so he, you know, knows me as a person in recovery, thank God. And also that meant that when we when I met him, I wasn't looking for my higher power in a partner. And that was a big deal for me that, you know, I think before program, I thought I'd find a person who is going to be, that they would be my higher power, you know. So I don't need him to be my higher power, and he has no idea how much extra support I need outside our relationship between OA fellows and sponsors and therapists and coaches and all that. So I'm grateful that I don't need to like rely on him for you know my care and direction. And then a previous person shared, you know, something about normal eating. Yeah, in my head, normal eating, you know, I want to be a normal eater. But normally eating is like being able to eat anything I want, whenever I want, as much as I want with no consequences. And that is not normal. So that shows me right there that I have a problem. So thank you. Wishing everyone a happy Friday and a good weekend.
Thank you, Donna W. in California. And Maria C., you're up, followed by Deborah G. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi, my name's Maria T. Not Maria T, but Maria T. And I'm, that's okay. No problem. I'm in Norway. And yeah, I just want to share that really grateful for the reading and thank you for your service today. I just want to share something that, you know, I've been in program a few years, over many years, but never really got abstinent until last year. Now, I came to a vision for you in March 2020, and that was the first time I ever experienced being abstinent. And I slipped towards the end of the year, and then I slipped again this year and had to go through the steps again, twice. And this time round, I've learned so incredibly much about myself and my relationship with my higher power and having a spiritual experience. And just as you said in the reading, you know, people started to see there was a difference in them. But, you know, even though I had physical recovery and abstinence, my emotional recovery hadn't changed. And, you know, I was still dependent on people. I was still screaming and shouting at my son. I was still my expectations were absolutely off the wall, you know. And the beginning of, on the 19th of December this year, on the 18th of December this year, me and my partner had an argument and I was screaming and shouting at him and throwing him out and absolutely, totally unacceptable behaviour. And, you know, my son the next day had rang his father and his father came and got him and literally kidnapped him. So they're now in a process of waiting for the authorities to try and get him back because he's a child with special needs. But the point is, working this program has made me, forced me to look at myself and in my step 10s and in my behavior and how I am. And that behavior is not recovered behavior. So for me, and I was actually about to make an amends to my son, God has shown me in every sense of the word, what an amends means, and that has to be a change in my behavior, not just with my partner but with my son and everybody around me. So I'm really grateful for this program. It's so much more than abstinence. It's just, you know, about a relationship with God. It's about doing the next right thing, asking for a right thought or action, pausing, doing everything I can in my power, because I'm powerless but not helpless. And that's all I have to share. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass there.
Thank you, Maria T. in Norway. And Deborah G., you're up, followed by Patricia H. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning, and thank you so much for leading the meeting today and everyone that's made this meeting possible. Thank you, thank you. And all the shares, 12-stepping, me today, and I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater, and you know, because I had the awareness that it's my, when I went through the steps and do this work, it's like my thinking that's my problem, not my food. And so I still have to have help with my thinking and turning my will and my life over to my Creator. That's third step prayer, and that surrender, and listening in my prayer and meditation for that small whispering voice, and then running it by someone, my sponsor. Like recently, I had some amends to make, and I ran it by my sponsor because some of them I didn't need to make, and some of them I did. You know, I still can't rely on my thinking. So I'm so glad that I have this way of living, what's been shared. These beautiful steps are just a wonderful way of living. And what I find is when I do that is that I get graced with not getting into my food or my addictions or whatever things going on. You know, I'm just in a place of neutrality and in a place of love and helpful to other people. And that's where I want to be. You know, the more connected, and the more connected, my sponsor reminds me, the more connected I am with God, the less 10 steps I have to do. So I'm so grateful to be here and grateful all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. And Patricia H., you are up. And after Patricia, we'll have time for maybe one or two more shares if you'd like to put your name in. So go ahead, please, Patricia.
Good morning. This is Patricia H. from North Carolina. Oh, I feel like I'm such a mess this morning. listening to this reading about having the willingness to do everything necessary to be in recovery is what I got. I started in a program in 2019, right at the time when I was desperate. I was had just been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I was at 289 pounds, and I found out about this program through, really, it was a God miracle at that time. And I actually, in that program, got a sponsor. I managed to get down below 200 pounds for the first time in many years. But I realized, and since then, I've come into a vision for you. I've been on the calls since November of 2021, and I still have not committed to finding a sponsor. And I know that I want to lose the weight. I want to be in recovery, but I want to do it my way. And reading this morning, it really, I had an awakening. It's like I need to have the willingness to do anything necessary. Currently, my church is in a corporate fast for 21 days. And during this time, my prayer, my earnest prayer to God is that He just, please just rewire my brain and give me the willingness to do anything necessary to be in, to live in recovery. I've never really done the 12 steps, so I really am praying that God will show me and connect me with the right person that can help me in a 12-step study, someone that, you know, is I prefer a Christian, but whatever God's will is. And I'm just so grateful for this call. I've been trying to come on the call every morning, and it has been such a blessing to me. So with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share. This is Patricia from North Carolina.
Thank you, Patricia H. from North Carolina. And we have a little bit of time left here, so we could probably get in two short shares.
Kaya P.
Kaya T.
Donna H.
Laureen W.
Donna, okay. So we're only going to be able to do like two and a half minute shares. So I heard Haya T first and Donna H. So go ahead, Haya, please. Haya?
Are you there, Haya?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. It mutes you back so quickly. Okay. Sorry about that. This is Chaya P. in Colorado. I'm very, very, very grateful to be recovered through the 12 steps of this program from compulsive overeating, bulimia, and restricting. Really glad to be here. Welcome to anyone who's new. And, you know, I just love that there is really a solution here. Like, there really is clear cut path. And I was also listening to the earlier meeting, and you know, what I was thinking a lot about was how we think. I heard many years ago this guy, Father Martin, he was an AA, and he used to speak a lot. And he said, you know, someone came up to him and said, you know, I'm really having trouble with the spiritual side of the program. And he said, what other side is there? And he said, you know, we think that we need to get to God, higher power, whatever, creative intelligence, whatever you want to call it, that we need to get to that source in order to get abstinent. But really, we need to get abstinent in order to get to God, meaning the point is to live along spiritual lines. That's the whole point. And so the only way I can do that is if I'm delivered from the food, and it requires me to rely on something bigger than me. And anyone that knows my story knows that many, many years ago, I did not have a God awareness really. And someone took me to the ocean. I was living in Oregon, and they took me to the Pacific Ocean and said, okay, Chaya, go ahead and stop the waves, or stop a wave. And I said, I can't stop a wave. And she said, exactly, power greater than yourself. And that was the beginning. Just the beginning, just like it says in the book, you know, that's all you need is just that little bit of willingness. And so I'm just very grateful for that, and so grateful. And I heard someone say, you know, I've never done the 12 steps before. And whenever I get a call from someone asking for help, and I ask them a little bit about their past and their experience, you know, I've been in OA forever or something like that. And I'll say, well, what's been your experience with the steps? And I'm like, well, I never actually did them. And I was like, that is such good news. That is such good news, because it's like taking an antibiotic or getting a prescription for an antibiotic for pneumonia and not taking the antibiotic and wondering why you didn't, the pneumonia is not gone, right? There really is a prescription, and it's called the 12 steps, and I'm incredibly grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Haya T. And Donna H., you have about 2 minutes. Actually, you don't even have 2 minutes.
Okay.
Nope,
no problem.
Can you
Good morning,
a minute,
that.
Donna?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, this is Donna H., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Syracuse, New York. And I'm just so grateful for this meeting. This will be my first time ever sharing, or now my second time. And I know that I need to share more, and so I'm trying to force myself to do that. But listening to all this, I was on the meeting this morning, listening to everybody sharing, it's just incredible. It helps me to continue to work the steps. And reading this piece today about being willing, and I was willing from the day I came into the program. And I committed to my sponsor that I said I was willing, and I was willing to do anything that I needed to do. But I knew God prior to that, and God had walked me through some pretty difficult things in the last few years, pretty really devastating things. And I had surrendered to Him so many times for other things, but was never surrendered to Him for my food, and never surrendered to Him in this within this program. I didn't even know this program existed, or that I really even had a disease till I came into the program. And it wasn't until I had started to have that spiritual awakening with regards to my food, and he opened my eyes, and which was powerful. So, but I just wanted to share that this morning, because I'm sure there's other people on the line that, you know, come into the program knowing they know God and have a relationship with Him, but never really surrendered their food to Him. So many times I said, I gave my addiction to Him, and said, oh my gosh, this God, I gotta stop this. You know, help me stop. But I think I just wanted him to take the fork and throw it down, but he didn't do that. I needed to do that. I just wanted to share that this morning. Thank you so much for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Donna H. Okay, thank you everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to Team Friday. And we'll now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So Jordanelle, would you please read a vision for you?
Of course. Good morning. My name is Jordanelle. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.